Take off our filthy garments, Lord. Take off our shoes, Lord, in your presence. We thank you for the great exchange right now, Father, that you're doing in our hearts, Lord, as we humbling ourselves before an awesome God. Lord, we thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people, God, and tonight we, Lord, are so honored that you come to speak to us, Lord, that you come to visit us, Lord. Who is man? As David wrote, that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you care for him. Thank you that you came in the form of a man to identify with us, Lord. Thank you that you quieten every storm in every life, Lord, that you, Lord, come to soften hardened hearts, Lord, that you come to renew our minds, Lord, that you come to do everything that you have planned to do tonight, Lord, as long as we just give you the freedom and the liberty to do that, Lord, that you such a gentleman tonight in this place, Lord, that you're not forceful, Lord, you never come and override our will, Lord. And so thank you tonight that we can choose, Lord, to be changed, that we can choose, Lord, to surrender, Lord, that we can choose to yield to your power tonight, Lord, that we can yield to your glory, God. Thank you that we can be arrested by your love right now, Lord, that you stop our programs and our busy lives, Lord. You just come to speak peace into our lives, God. You speak peace. And that you say tonight, Lord, that you want to give us direction. I just sense that you want to give some people direction tonight, Lord. Just in decisions they have to make this week and in the months to come, Lord. Thank you for peace. Even for the end of the year, I sense some people are stressed about where you're going to go next year, what you're going to be doing. And the Lord just says tonight, peace, be still. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you, not to bring you into doubt or despair or fear. But I know the plans I have for you. Just believe me. Have faith in me. Have faith in my perfect plan, says the Lord tonight. Lord, I just thank you that we can also open our hearts, Lord, to your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful, Lord. Lord, and that your presence as well changes us, God, and that we can yield to your presence, Lord, and that your presence also comes to speak very specifically to us by your word, Lord, by your truth. So, Lord, I also yield myself to you right now. Thank you that every word is that's going to be preached now, that's going to be said, would bring glory to you, God, and that every life right here in this place, Lord, all of our lives, God, would bring glory to your name tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your voice to be heard clearly in every ear, every heart. Thank you that your power and your might are indeed here to change us, Lord, and that we yield to your amazing love, Lord, which is accompanied also by an awesome holiness that we don't always understand as sinful people, Lord, but we realize, God, that in Jesus you have bridged the gap for us. So we thank you, Jesus, for showing us the Father, showing us the perfection. We desire to be changed tonight, Lord. That is our prayer. We don't want to leave here the same. Jesus' name. It's in times like these you may take your seats that I don't really want to preach, to be honest. The presence of God is so in this place. But it's a joy to be here. Amen. Sometimes we get a bit too serious, but it is God's presence is powerful and overwhelming sometimes, and we need to yield to it. So are you excited to be here this evening? Who's excited? Who's expectant? I think you must just turn to someone next to you and just say, put a smile on that dial, God is good. Okay. Sometimes we need to also just relax, but when God's presence is here, it is powerful and it's just confirming what the Lord wants to do tonight. So are you ready? Tell someone next to you that you must fasten those seat belts because we're flying tonight. It might be a bumpy ride. It might be an interesting ride, but just make sure those seat belts are on. Mango is here to take you on an interesting flight, not to Cape Town or to Joburg, but maybe overseas into another couple of planets. Amen. Don't think Mango will go that far. But yeah, welcome back to some of you. Some of you seem to be on holiday the whole of April, so welcome back to the real world. Are you guys still on cloud nine, or have you come back to the reality of life and studies and work and all those things? Some of us didn't have that luxury of being on holiday all the time, but I trust that you students will still get your exams passed and your tests written despite all the holidays. Okay, but I'm excited to share what the Lord has on my heart this evening. Those of you who have been here and have been following, we've been talking about this thing of the kingdom and the kingdom prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So I'm just going to finish off this evening. I'm really expectant for what God wants to do just in our hearts as far as this word is concerned, the word in Matthew 6 from verse 9 to 13. So I'll just recap. This is the prayer that most of us know, but we often know it very religiously because we've been taught this at school and we have to hear it off by heart or learn it off by heart, and we just pray it very casually and we don't understand fully what's all being said. And if you do want to know a little bit more, I don't feel that I've got nearly the full revelation, but I did preach 3 sermons on this in the past few weeks, so get the downloads off the web. Mariska is very sharp with it. She puts it on a Monday evening already, so you can get the sermon from Sunday already on Monday evening, and you can really listen to that and just get yourselves up to date with what God is speaking to us about as a church. But I'll just recap in Matthew 6 from verse 9. Jesus teaches his disciples and he says, listen here, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I stopped there last week. I talked about God being our deliverer and making sure that there's always a way of escape when it comes to temptation. No temptation is too great for us, and we can always trust God for the way out when we're being tempted. And God does not want us to be tempted, and that's why he says you must pray this prayer. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then the last thing that Jesus tells his disciples, and he says an interesting word here. He uses the word for, which can also be translated, or you could also put the word because in there. And he says the following. He says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In other words, Jesus is telling his disciples, listen here, all of the above, everything that you have prayed for up to now can happen. It's possible and it's true because, why? The kingdom, the power and the glory belong to the Father. So he's able to do this. He is so strong. He's powerful. He's able to deliver you. He's able to bless you. He's able to do all these things that you have just asked for in the name of the Father. And he says, listen here, that the kingdom belongs to the Father. The kingdom, the power, the glory, everything is all about him. And that is what he was trying to tell the disciples, is listen here, your prayers are not at all about you. You can ask for the blessings, but in the end, it's because the Father is a good giver, so he can bless you. You need to ask for forgiveness because you need to experience his freedom. You need to forgive others and experience the freedom that the Father has for you. So Jesus tells his disciples, listen, yeah, it's all about him. You see, it starts and it ends with God's glory and his kingdom and his power. But very specifically, he talks about these 3 concepts. And I want to just talk a little bit about that this evening, about the kingdom, the power, and the glory very shortly, because they're huge concepts and there's so many scriptures and we can talk for hours on this. But I just want to touch on this, that I trust you will have a hunger for these things, and you will understand that this is what we need. When we're talking about a desire for the kingdom, you need to understand this part about the Lord and this part about Jesus. And God revealed something amazing to me, which is quite simple, but I want to share it with you this evening because I trust that it will open some doors to us in terms of our boldness and our relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So just to look at a couple of definitions, first of all, let's look at the definition of kingdom. It talks about the Greek word basileia, which means royalty, it means rule, it means realm or reign, or all the R's there, kingdom. Then the word power, the Greek word dunamis, force, miraculous power, mighty work. This is who God is. God is a God of might and power. And then glory, the Greek word doxa, dignity, honor, praise, worship. That's the God that we've worshipped right now, the God who's in here, the God who's ready to touch our lives and who's ready to speak to us. This is the God that we serve. He's a God of rule and reign. He's a God who doesn't understand democracy where everyone just decides for himself and where you sitting on the throne of your life. He understands the fact that he's the king. He knows that and he's very secure in that, whether mankind serves him or not. He's still the king. He's still ruling and he's still reigning. And some of us need to be reminded of that, because our lives seem to fall apart sometimes and we think, how can we as a Christian, you know, live in this and our lives are falling apart, but we don't realize that God is on the throne. He's in control. He's ruling. And that he's all powerful and he's able to deliver us and he's able to do signs and wonders through us. And that he's a glorious God. He's full of glory. And that's why tonight, he's not changed by our worship tonight. He's the same, you see. But we are changed. Isn't that amazing? Who was changed in God's presence tonight? Anyone? Any honest people around you? If you're not really honest, because God's presence is so powerful. But it's all about us wanting to be changed. If you don't want to be, it's fine. But, you know, when God's presence comes and we recognize that we need to bow down. You know, Solomon prayed a prayer. It's not in my notes here. But Solomon prayed a prayer of dedication to the temple. And he dedicated the temple and he said, Lord, this is your for your glory. And you know, when Solomon finished praying, 2 Chronicles 7 talks about the glory of God filling that temple. And the priests, no one was able to stand. No one was able to enter into that place because of the glory of God. They bowed to their knees. They bowed to their faces. They couldn't look at the glory of God. And sometimes we come to God a little bit casually. And that's why I want to talk to us a little bit tonight about Psalm 145, David, and I actually want to read this whole psalm to you guys. This is an amazing psalm. I didn't put everything up there. I only put it from verse 10 because that's what I want to focus on. But I just want to read the psalm because it ties in with tonight how we've just praised the Lord and worshipped him. Because you see, God is an awesome God and God wants to meet with us. But you see, sometimes we don't understand who he is. We don't understand the awesomeness of God. And he's a God of love, but you see, he's also a fearful God. He's a holy God. And yeah, in Psalm 145, David writes the following, and it's just a praise to God. It's a song of God's majesty and love. I'll just read the first two verses before that, verse 10, just to get us up to speed. David says, I will extol you, my God, O King, he says. He understands that God is King. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. I haven't got it on the screen there. Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Doesn't that sound a lot like the end of the Lord's Prayer? Forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesomeness, of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Isn't that amazing? And then he comes and he says the following. He says, all your works, verse 10, Lord, shall praise you. And guess what? Your saints shall bless your name. Isn't that amazing? You know, the creation is worshiping God. Isn't that true? When we look outside, and I just go outside on a day like today, a beautiful day where the sky is blue, there's no wind, there's just, you need to go out a bit. And my wife and I walked in the Sierra Dama Reserve there just this afternoon, or this morning actually, just going out and just seeing God's glory. Yes, and you know, we're not in the hills of the Boerland or the amazing highlands of Scotland, but still, just get out into nature and just see how beautiful God is. The creation, the stones, the trees, the bushes are crying out of God's glory. How much more shouldn't we as his people? And David understands this and he says, listen here, and your saints shall bless you. Your saints shall cry out of your awesomeness. They shall speak, it says here, of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known the sons of men, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. Ever wondered if you must evangelize or not? Ever wondered if you must speak to someone about God? Here it is. It says, to make known to the sons of men, those who don't know God. Because those who are not sons of God are merely just sons of men. But once you become a Christian, you become a son of God, then you're no longer just the son of man. You're a son of God. But the sons of men talk about those who don't know God. To make known to the sons of men, to make known to those out there that this God is an awesome God. Why? Because he does mighty acts. And it says here, to make known the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Isn't this awesome? Your kingdom, Lord, is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. Once again, talking about his rule and his reign, your dominion endures through all generations. Isn't this an awesome God? Some of us need to get excited about the God we serve. Because we're not really always excited about God, are we? Our lives excite us, all our busyness, all the stuff we're pursuing great careers, we earn lots of money, we're studying great degrees, and we're getting all sorts of claims to fame on our CVs, ticking all the boxes. But are we really excited about this God we serve? Are we passionate about Him? This is the God we serve. He's the God who's the King. He's the God of power, and He's the God of glory. And I want to just talk about those things a little bit this evening, because you see, sometimes when we look at the Lord's Prayer, we realize that it starts off by saying, Our Father. In other words, it starts off by an amazing God who's in love with us, a God who loves us, a God who has died for us, and a God who's passionately committed to us. But Jesus tells His disciples, listen here, that's how it starts. But how it ends is the following. How it ends is that there's a kingdom that must come. There's a power and there's glory that we're going to behold. And you know what? It's going to bring a lot of fear in our hearts, the fear of God. See, God is love, but God is also a God of power, a God of glory, a God of holiness. And we need to understand this. You see, sometimes we come to God a little bit casually. You know, we sort of know His love and we can sort of do anything because, yeah, He's forgiven all our sins. But you see, that is not the God that Jesus is talking about here. He says, listen, yeah, you come to Him as a father. You come to Him and He forgives your sins. And that is almost talks to me about the first coming of Jesus. He has come to reveal the Father's love to us. But you know what? The second coming is going to be a fearful coming. It's going to talk about this kingdom that is going to be finally established. It's going to talk about power and glory that is going to wipe away all sin, wipe away all ungodliness from the earth. You see, the fear of God, we need to understand that, because otherwise we've got a very casual relationship with God. Because yes, we're sort of the surfer dude and we can go surf on our waves and God is with me and God loves me and all that. But we're not prepared to lay down our little sins. We're not prepared to lay down the stuff that keeps us from worshiping this God. And we're not prepared to lay down the things that prevent us often from being excited about this God and telling the whole world about this awesome God that we serve. So I believe that is what Jesus was trying to get to His disciples at the end when He says, listen, yeah, this what you've prayed now is sealed in the fact that God is an awesome God and He's able to do miracles in your life. He's able to deliver you. He's able to save you. But you've got to come to Him as this God who's not just your buddy-buddy. And yes, He's your friend and He comes alongside you and He encourages you by His Spirit. But He's also this awesome God. And once we get a revelation of this, we will change the world, I believe. We will be like the first disciples. And we're going to look at them now. Because you see, these were these same disciples who didn't really understand what Jesus was saying here. But He just threw it out there. He just says, listen, yeah, eventually you'll understand. But for now, I'm just putting it out there. I'm sealing something in your spirits. I'm starting something. I'm starting a desire that you'll start to seek me. And even though you forsake me, eventually you will click this thing. And it's the same with us. And God is long-suffering with us. God is compassionate. God's love is always for us. That's why I want to encourage you this evening. But it's also time to really say, Lord, do we desire your things? Do we desire your kingdom? So you see, yeah, Luke chapter 1, verse 33, Jesus is born, yeah, to the Virgin Mary, and the angel comes and says, listen, yeah, Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, meaning Savior. You will save the people from their sins. And it says in verse 32, he will be great. Already they're talking about the fact that Jesus' greatness is going to be amazing. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. It says here that the Lord God, Father God, will give Jesus the throne of his father David. And guess what? He, Jesus, will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. So what the Lord showed me in this prayer is that Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was saying, listen, yeah, the kingdom, first of all, let's focus on the kingdom. The kingdom, the power, and the glory. First of all, he said the kingdom is forever. For yours is the kingdom. He's saying to his, you know, you must pray to the Father, for yours is the kingdom. That's what he was saying to them. But what he was actually saying is that, listen here, the Father is giving me the kingdom. They didn't know it at the time and Jesus didn't fully reveal it to them then. But he was actually saying to them there that, listen here, when you understand something, you're going to understand that the only way you can understand the Father's kingdom is when you understand that I am actually the one who's receiving this kingdom. I'm the one who's come to bring this kingdom. So you see, the same disciples that Jesus was speaking to about prayer were those same disciples that needed to realize that this is not about the Father's kingdom. This is actually my kingdom, Jesus. He's bringing the Father's kingdom, but it's actually mine. The Father is giving the kingdom to me. That's what the verse says in Luke 1. It says, listen, yeah, the Father will give the kingdom to Jesus. So here he is, he himself, the king in front of them. And they didn't have a clue. They just thought he was this good teacher and Yes, he was the Son of God, but they didn't fully understand that he was going to be the one to rule and reign. So that is the first thing. His everlasting kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is everlasting. He started it. He brought it in when he came to earth as a man. And guess what? He's going to last forever. He's going to be the king forever. Jesus Christ. Secondly, Mark 2. Jesus is talking to his disciples a little bit later on here. And he says, listen here. There's this, obviously he wasn't talking to his disciples there, but his disciples were with him, and they brought a sick man to him, a man on a bed, and they had to actually lower him down through the house because there were so many people around and all the people were getting healed by him. And then he says to him, listen here, take up your bed and walk. And then everyone was like, but how can you just tell this guy to get up and walk? And he says, listen, what is easier to say? Is it easier for me to just say, take up your bed and walk? Or is it easier for me to say, listen, your sins are forgiven? And he demonstrates and he says to those people, listen, he actually talks to the Pharisees. And he said that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He says to that paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. You see, the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. So that is life-changing power. Jesus has been given power from above. He has been given not only the kingdom, he's been given the power. First of all, what? Three things here I want to focus on. First of all, his power to forgive sins, which what does it mean? His power to save. He's our Savior. He's the only one that can bring us to the Father. We cannot get to the Father any other way. We cannot have a relationship with the Father any other way because Jesus has been given the power, what? To forgive sins. In other words, when we come to him, we say, Lord, thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you that you've saved me. Some of us need to remember our salvation. We need to go back and say, Lord, I remember my life when it used to be. It was so a mess. I was such a mess not knowing you, Lord. But thank you for such a great salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you are the only one. Jesus Christ, you are the only one that has given me the freedom. You have given me forgiveness. You have given me salvation. He's the only one. So first of all, he doesn't only have just any power. He's got very specific power. His power to forgive sins. Secondly, he sends his disciples out here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. He says, listen, I've been given this power, and I want to give it to you now. So guess what? We need to start to change Israel, because Israel are a hardened nation. They don't understand me. They don't understand my way. So listen, you need to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And he called his disciples to him, and he said he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Not only has he been given power to forgive and to save people, he's been given the power, what, to cast out demons. He's been given the power to set free and to heal and to deliver. Isn't that amazing? This is the power that we have in Jesus Christ, the power to deliver us, the power to heal us. So if we're sick in our bodies, it's just we need to believe and say, Lord, thank you that you're the one that can heal me. Thank you that you're the only one. I come to the Father in the name of Jesus. I come to you with humility and understanding that you have the power. I cannot just wait for healing from some other thing. I can believe in the healing of Jesus. Sometimes we get despondent because we're not healed. So we just give up and then we go to medicine again. Yes, medicine will heal us. And there's nothing wrong with going to doctors. Otherwise, all the doctors will be out of work if I say only Jesus is able to heal. Yes, doctors heal, medicine heals. But, sometimes we get despondent, so we stop praying. So we don't desire to pray to God and say, Lord, first of all, I'm going to trust you for this healing. I'm going to trust you that you'll heal me. So we've sort of got a little bit, despondent about the word, because the word says this thing, but, why isn't it happening? And it's not God's fault. Because he says here, listen, I've given Jesus this power, and he wanted to give it to his disciples, and guess what? He wants to give it to us as well. So you can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. I don't have to do it. I can do it, and I love doing it. But it's not only the pastor or a high priest or someone who's more spiritual. You, if you believe, you're also one of Jesus' disciples, and he wants to call you and say, listen here, there's broken people in Bloemfontein, there's broken people on campus, there's sick people. If you want it, I've got the power for you. I want to give it to you, to lay hands on the sick and to be healed, that people can be healed, people can be set free. So he doesn't only have power to forgive sins. He's also got power to heal and to deliver. It says all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, and the word hasn't changed. It's the same for today. No sickness is too great for Jesus. He took the stripes for us. He took the pain for us. And then thirdly, not only does he have power to forgive and to heal and deliver, he says, he tells his disciples, no one takes my life from me. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Isn't that amazing? This is the Jesus that he didn't get conquered by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the officers of the law. He wasn't overcome by them. He actually yielded himself to them. Isn't that amazing? Jesus surrendered his own life. He had the power to just avoid them. And we saw previously where it wasn't his time yet, and he just avoided them. They tried to catch him and try to crucify him earlier, or just, you know, bring him in front of the governor, and he just avoided them. So he had the power to surrender his life and to take it up again. Isn't that amazing? And this is the same Jesus that's going to raise us up at the last day. The same Jesus that's going to give us a new body. So turn to someone else next to you and say, hey, this little face of yours, it's passing away. It's getting old. This little body of yours, it's passing away. It's getting old. Because guess what? Jesus is going to give us a new body at the last day. Isn't that exciting? So some of you must stop worrying about you getting old. You know why? It's exciting. You're having a new life one day. You're going to get a new body one day. So don't try to just preserve your life the whole time. Don't try to always look young. Your body's getting old whether you like it or not. But guess what? Jesus is able to raise us up, and he's going to. He's got the power to raise us up. And yes, he's also had the power to raise us up spiritually, to give us new life. But the salvation is all that is important in the end, is our eternal life. And I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about eternal life? Have you ever thought about what it's going to be like in eternity? Have you ever thought about what we're going to look like and what it's going to be like up in heaven? Have you thought about that? Because for me, it boggles my mind. I can't understand it fully. I can't really understand it. But all I need to understand, what the Lord showed me is, listen, all you need to understand is that I'm going to be there. And that is enough for you to have peace and to say, man, this is cool. I know the King. His kingdom is going to be very interesting and very awesome, but my mind can't comprehend it. How are we going to work? Are we going to have houses, palaces? What are they going to look like? What's heaven going to look like? What's eternal life going to be one day in heaven? But you know what? We don't need to worry too much about it, because guess what? Our minds cannot comprehend it, because our minds are still fallen. But one day we're going to be given a new body and a new mind and a new everything. It's going to be all made new completely. For now, our spirits are alive, but you know what? Our bodies are still subject to sin and death and suffering. But one day, Jesus is going to raise us up with himself, like he did when he conquered death itself. He was the one that was the firstborn, the first fruit to get out of death, to conquer death. He's going to be the one to raise us up. When we see him face to face, the Bible talks about when we see him in the blink of an eye, we'll be changed. Because he's already changed. He's already been glorified. And that brings me to my next point. He says here in John chapter 17, he prays to the Father and he says, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came to basically complete this thing of glory. Because you see, the earth was fallen. The earth needed a renewal. The earth needed more glorification, or not more, but the earth needed to be glorified again. And that's why Jesus had this glory. Jesus had the glory from the beginning. He says, your Father, I had this glory before the world was. And now I've been sent to earth. And he says, I've done your work, Father. I've completed your work. Glorify me again. Complete the cycle. And that's what happened. Jesus was raised up from the dead. And he spoke his last words to the disciples. And he was taken up into heaven, glorified completely again, sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for all of us right now. He came to reveal the glory of the Father. And the Father glorified him. And he could ask with boldness. And he said, Father, glorify me. Because I know that that's your purpose. Is to give me the kingdom. To give me the power. To give me the glory. Because I've come to reconcile mankind. And I want to give them the glory. I'm going to glorify them one day. And I've started the process. I've started this process of glorification in their lives. Or the process of salvation by saving them and renewing them. But I will complete this glory at the end and at the second coming. And then he's going to come in his perfect glorified state. Isn't that amazing? You see, Jesus came to earth as a man, so he was fully God but fully man. But he's going to come back in a glorified state completely. I actually don't know if he is going to come as a man again. I don't think he's not. He's going to come in a glorified state. I haven't researched this. But you see, his glory is complete. His glory is, he's going to come on a white horse. He's going to come in a glorified state. And some of us might not recognize him. Because we don't worship him in that way. We just know him as our friend and just our buddy surfer dude that just chills with us every day. You know,
We don't understand. He's been glorified. And he has come to reveal, well, actually the Father has said, listen here, this is who I am. The Father has come and said, Jesus, you have revealed the glory of the Father. Because yeah, Paul writes and he understands this. He says, listen here, it is God. He writes to the Corinthians, for it is God, the Father, the same God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. The same God from the beginning that said, let there be light, and there was light. That same God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How has he done that? In the face of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the revelation of glory. Jesus has come to reveal the glory of the Father to us. You see, so Jesus was speaking to these disciples and he was telling them, this is how you must pray. You must understand that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. But guess what? That yours that you're actually talking to is actually me. You don't understand it yet. And he didn't say that at all to them. He just said, look, it's the Father's glory. You must worship the Father. But the only way that you can worship the Father is through me. Because the Bible says Jesus is the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ, we can experience the glory of God. So we can only worship God through Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And every other religion says there's all sorts of other ways to get to God. God is this being out there, and they understand that God is great, and we don't really understand him. But you know, you can get to God by yourself, by your good works, by how you live your life, by all the good deeds you do. But Jesus comes to bring a different way, and he says, listen here, I'm the only way, I'm the only truth, and I'm the only life. So we can only worship God through Jesus Christ. He has brought the kingdom, he has brought the power, and he's brought the glory of the Father to our lives. And that's why we don't need to worry about eternity as long as we just know this king, because he's the king. So if we start to desire and we start to desire a relationship with this king, man, we are going to see great things one day. We're going to see awesome things as long as we are sure that we know this king, because he's going to be the one to give us entrance into heaven or not. He's going to be the one to say, I know you, or I don't know you. He has come to bring the glory, the power, and the kingdom. And so to finish off this evening, I just want us to have a look at the, because we're going to take communion this evening. We're going to spend some time around the body and the blood of Jesus and remember what he has done and glorify him in what he has done. Because you see, some of us need our minds renewed, because listen to this, the same disciples, those same disciples who didn't fully understand what Jesus was really teaching them at the time, they seem to click something here. Because this is what I want to get to this evening. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples started to, you know, be given the power of the Holy Spirit. They were, the power was given, the Spirit was given in Acts chapter 2. And they started to operate in this power. And they started to understand something. And I believe that God wants us as a church to also start to understand this power. And also not to just operate in a day-to-day environment of the same old, and what we know and what we're comfortable with and what we sort of, you know, have past experience of. God wants us to continue to desire him and to really seek his face and to pray. Because listen to, in Acts chapter 4, now this, Peter and John had just healed the leper on the side of the road, and everyone was sort of, oh, what is these signs and wonders are happening here? This is so weird. This guy was begging and he was, you know, crippled for years, and now he's sort of standing up and walking. And then they arrested them and they put them in jail and said, listen here, do not mention that name anymore. You're blaspheming. Stop it and everything. And they said, listen here, but we cannot help but speak about this name. So then they were sort of released and they were told, listen here, you cannot speak about Jesus anymore. And then they got together, they went back to all the other disciples and they said, listen here, we've got to pray, because we understand that these people cannot stop the glory of God coming. What people say is, it's just not going to cut it, because what God says it counts. And then they said, when they heard that the people said, listen here, you cannot talk about Jesus, they raised their voice to God with one accord. So they were all together once again in unity. As soon as things happened, they all came together in unity. And they said this, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Doesn't this sound like, you know, the Lord's Prayer saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are everything, God. You are all. They understood. They remembered what Jesus taught them. And they said, listen here, Lord, we need to seek your face now. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then we know what happened after that. They continued to threaten the people and everything. But they just said, listen here, Lord, we know you're greater. And in verse 29, they said, Lord, look upon their threats. Look upon the threats of these people. They are trying to stop your word going forth. They are trying to stop your kingdom from coming. But Lord, we know that your kingdom is coming. So Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. They said, Lord, we are your servants. We understand it's not about us. It's not our pride. It's not our great works that are happening here. Lord, it's we your servants. It's all about your glory, Lord. And they said, with all boldness, Lord, grant us that we may speak your word, Lord, by doing the following, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus, very specifically, and not by our power, not by anything that we do, not by our good works or how awesome we are, or how proud we are to have done quiet time every morning this morning and we're in tune with you, God, so we can do these holy works. No, it says, signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Understanding again what Jesus taught them and said, listen here, this kingdom and the power and the glory is mine. I want to do these signs and wonders through you. And then they prayed to the Father and said, in the name of Jesus, we trust you that you'd give us boldness to continue to speak your word despite people trying to shut us out, despite people trying to stop your kingdom from advancing. Lord, we are going to seek your face. And listen to what happened when they had prayed. Because they prayed, and this is what Salome said, you know, praying, it's talking to God. They simply talked to God, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And they were already filled with the Spirit, but once again, yeah, they prayed, and they said, Lord, do whatever you've got to do, but we want to speak with boldness. We want to continue to see signs and wonders happening, but it's all in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And we are simply your servants. We are simply your servants, Lord. Do your signs and wonders that you have got to do. So you see, these same disciples that didn't really have a clue when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, they clicked something here. Something had happened in their spirit. Something changed and they started to understand, this is how we must pray. We must pray in the name of your holy servant Jesus. We must understand that your kingdom is busy coming. Your glory is coming. Your power is available. And we want to see that power manifest here on earth by the Holy Spirit. We know it's by the Holy Spirit because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, and by his name, by the name that is above every other name, signs and wonders started to happen. And there was a unity in that group of believers. And that's why we're doing this prayer, 24-hour prayer thing. It's not just to do another event, but it's to say, Lord, we want to seek your face. We want to be in unity here. And yes, it's difficult for all of us to get together for a whole 24 hours or even for a couple of hours. You know, sometimes it's very difficult for all of us to get together on a Friday morning when there's intercession. But I understand that. People have got schedules. But for that 24-hour thing on the 1st of June, I want us all as a church to get together and to say, Lord, we want a desire to see your kingdom come. We have a desire, Lord, to see mighty wonders and signs happening here. We want to see, Lord, we're not just a church who's just surviving and we just, yeah, and sort of we'll see if you do anything, Lord, and maybe you'll do something, maybe you won't. Lord, we trust you. In the name of your holy servant Jesus, we come and we say, Lord, the kingdom, the power, and the glory are all yours. Do your mighty signs and wonders. Do what you've got to do through us, Lord. But we're your servants. We're here to serve you. So you see, we need to be like the disciples and sometimes to be taught by Jesus and say, Jesus, how must we pray? Do we understand this thing of your kingdom fully? Do I understand your glory and your power? We desire it, Lord. And it's all about us wanting it. If we don't really want it, God will use other people. There's many stories of God choosing his servants and people just said, no, God, I'm too busy with this. And he came to the fourth or fifth one and eventually things God could use someone who was just available. So I believe as a church, and it's serious now, we can wait for the church to grow and we'll sit comfortably, or we can say, Lord, we're just a small group of people here. But we know, Lord, you can do amazing things through just a small group of people. But we desire to seek your face. We desire to experience your kingdom. We desire signs and wonders and miracles to happen. So I want the ushers to hand out the communion elements along while we just continue to talk about a few things here. You see, I was sent this email a while ago, and just talking about this, about Jesus, and it was quite amazing to me. I just want to read it. It says, it's amazing who Jesus is. In chemistry, he turned water into wine. In biology, he was born without the normal conception. In physics, he disapproved the law of gravity when he ascended into heaven. In economics, he disapproved the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. In medicine, he cured the sick and the blind without administering a single dose of drugs. In history, he is the beginning and the end. In government, he is called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. In religion, he said, no one comes to the Father except through him. So, who is he? He is Jesus. Let's celebrate him. He is worthy. The greatest man in history. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. What an honor to serve such a leader who loves us. See, this is the Jesus that we serve. And this is the Jesus, the name of this holy servant Jesus that we have as the mediator. This is the one in whom we pray and we can say, Lord, Father, do miracles through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Do miracles as we trust you, because he is indeed the revelation of glory. He is indeed the revelation of the Father. He is indeed the power. He has the power to do miracles. He has the power to, you know, heal us and deliver us. He has the power to save us, and we've experienced that. And some of us have experienced miracles in our lives. Some have never experienced a miracle. So I want to ask you, do you want to see signs and wonders? Some of us are scared of it. Some of us wonder, what's going to happen? Am I going to be consumed by fire when a miracle happens? Or when someone gets healed under my hand? It's a bit of a scary thing sometimes. But it is, because it's the power of God. It's a supernatural thing. But you see, his kingdom is coming. And I want to ask us, do we indeed desire the real deal? Because then I believe it is time to pray, you see. Then I believe it's really time for us to get together. And that's why on the 1st of June, it might just be another event, and it might just come and go and nothing happens, you know. But we need to prepare for it. And that's why I want you to think about it. Plan your exam schedules, plan your work schedule, whatever, and come and put your name on the back after the service. Choose a weird time slot like 2 to 3 in the morning. Wouldn't that be cool if you wake up and you know you've got to pray and God is going to come visit you because you've never prayed in the night before. You've never stepped out and been woken up. When I went to India, the mother of the pastor who was there used to wake up 3 times a night. She slept on this hard floor, maybe like a thin mattress like this, because she didn't want to sleep comfortably, because she knew her job is to intercede for the church there in India. And that Pastor Isaac has got about 50 churches planted all over the east coast of India. You see, that's someone who understands that I'm not living for comfort. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living to see God's kingdom come. And I've got a desire to wake up every night. And not everyone's called to do that. But let us, on the 1st of June, let us see if we can say, Lord, we want to sacrifice our comforts of the deep sleep that we're in and just wake up for an hour and come here and seek your face, God, and watch God do miracles. I believe he's going to do it. I believe if we together, and even if there's just 5 people doing it, I believe God will honor those 5 people. And their lives will be changed, and this church will start to change, I believe. So it is a bit of a challenge for us this evening, you see, because we are very, and I'm speaking to myself here, I'm just as comfortable. Even in the ministry, it's so cool. Yeah, you're a pastor doing what you love doing, and you can get very comfortable. But do we desire God? You know, I had a dream last night. It was actually quite scary. I dreamt that CS called me, and he said, I must lead this missions team, and I knew we were going to Zambia on a mission, and I've got to lead all these other missions teams to some weird places there in the east. And I'm thinking, but my wife, I was like, I've got to leave my wife for a long time. You know, I've got to leave my wife for, I don't know how long it was, but it was like almost like, you know, I was waking up challenged by, am I prepared to leave everything? Am I prepared to go to the ends of the earth? Like we sing the song sometimes, yes, Lord, I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. We don't understand, what are we singing? So I know it's a bit of a challenge for us this evening, but guess what? If we know the King, we're at a safe place. And we just need to say, Lord, if you're speaking to me tonight, then I just want to be obedient to you, Lord. I just want to understand that you are speaking amazing things to me this evening. So I just wonder, has everyone received the bread and the wine this evening? Is anyone not? Put your hands up if you haven't received it. Because you see, this is the key. If we just understand that this body was broken, the body of Jesus, the holy man, the perfect 100% man, 100% God, the only one who can identify or bring us to the Father. He died for us. And we can be at the safe place where we just know it's all about him. So I want us all to just close our eyes, and I want the band to come forward. Just bring your elements with you, the whole band. You guys can come forward so long. Because I want us to just spend some time around what Jesus has done for us. You know, because it's sometimes, and Ter had an amazing sermon a couple of months ago about just this becomes a ritual. And I believe tonight we must just stop our programs, just like the worship happened earlier. We sort of, God arrested us and stopped us and just made us think, what is this all about? What is this all about? So let's close our eyes right now. Lord, we thank you tonight for just this amazing opportunity right now, Lord, as we just come and just celebrate again what you've done, Lord. The fact that, Lord, you've bought us at a price, Lord. We are special to you, God, and we'll never not be special. Lord, even if we disobey you, even if we forsake you, Lord, we are still special to you. Even if we just keep sinning and we keep falling into disobedience and just sin and all this stuff, Lord, you are so committed to us. You are so, Lord, seeking our hearts every day and every night, Lord. You are pursuing us more than we can pursue you, Lord. And we don't always understand it, Lord. Tonight we're just in awe of the fact that you pursued us, Lord, even before we were born. You knew that we'd be at this time, at this place right now. And so I thank you that we can all quieten our hearts, Lord, and just reflect again on your amazing glory, God, your amazing power that has changed our lives, God. And Lord, help us to live in that power, Lord. Help us to desire you like the disciples did at the beginning where they said, Lord, despite the challenges, despite the threats of people, despite even the enemy wanting to silence us, Lord, we want to still see mighty wonders and signs being done through your holy servant Jesus. And so thank you right now that as we partake of this, Lord, as we eat of this bread and this wine, that we can understand again just the power of the broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought healing for us. You've brought deliverance, Lord. You've brought freedom through your brokenness. You've made us whole. And so I thank you that as all of us eat this together, Lord, as we celebrate this together, that we can eat and be made whole again and receive our wholeness, because some of us are so broken, Lord, and some of us are on the road to recovery and you have started a process, but we realize tonight that we are still broken. And I sense some of you are just being, your brokenness is being revealed right now, and God has said he's fine with that. He's so fine with that. Just recognize that you are broken. Recognize that you come to him in humility this evening. You don't know all the answers. You don't know the fullness of God yet. You've not arrived, and that is the best place to be. We all need to realize that we're sinners and we need a Savior. And so, Lord, I thank you that as we eat of this, you make us whole, Lord. You have started this process and we can live in freedom because we made whole tonight. So let's all just eat together and know that God has made us whole through Jesus. Lord, we also thank you for your blood that sets us free, God, that cleanses us from all sin and that gives us the power as well, Lord, to live with your blood flowing through our veins, Lord, not our natural blood, Lord, not, Lord, just the natural, but I thank you for this blood which is supernatural, Lord. This blood represents the blood of Jesus, who is perfect, who is absolutely perfect, and who's our mediator this evening. And we thank you for your blood, Jesus, that it flows through us, it empowers us, it encourages us, it equips us to do amazing things. It protects our families, it protects our lives from death and destruction, Lord. And as we eat this, I thank you that all of us are sealed by your blood. And I thank you that I can just in the spirit draw a bloodline around every person, around their minds and their bodies and their families, their houses, their cars, Lord, that nothing will happen to your saints. No evil will come. So we thank you for your blood. And even, Lord, we thank you that when challenges come, Lord, and when accidents happen, Lord, because we're in a fallen world, I thank you that your blood protects us. Your blood gives us life. And we can pray your healing, God, and we can trust you for deliverance and for healing, God, because of your blood that's flowed. And so we ask for life tonight. Thank you that we can receive your life and your abundance. And I just really sense some people must just thank God for his abundance, because you're not living in abundance, but you must just drink this in faith and just thank God for the abundance that he's brought.